cute. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Somehow I got muted. Must have been the old alphabet man jumped in there and somebody muted me. You know, I've been scanning. I was just scrolling up and down the internet over here this morning. Is, hey, my new glasses. Like my new glasses? Scanning up and down the internet over here. And I just, man, there's so many. Here's part of our problem. Golly, there's so many problems, aren't there? Aren't there so many issues? And of course, part of the problem and being so many issues is then we get so many pet issues. That, man, I want to pick up this issue. And this was important. That one's important. Now, I want you to think about this. This just now popped into my head. Can somebody explain to me why every community has only one high school? Now, I know there's private schools. I understand that. But why does every student, every child in your community, in your school district, have to go to that one high school? That would be like if, let's say you moved into a town, and when you got into town, you never lived there before, and when you got into town, yeah, you drive to somebody and say, "Hey, where's the local Burger King?" And they said, "Oh, no, we don't have Burger Kings in this town. We have Hardee's." "Well, what, Hardee's? That's all you got is Hardee's?" "Well, yeah, we have Hardee's. Everybody eats at Hardee's." "So where I came from, we had Burger King." "Oh, no, no, no. If you want a Burger King, you got to go over four towns. They have the Burger Kings over there. We're Hardee's." "Well, say, I don't like Hardee's." "Well, it doesn't matter. Everybody in this community pays taxes and we eat Hardee's. That's the way that it is." And somebody explained to me how in any other area, how about this? Everybody's got to go to this church. This one right over here, that's the church everybody goes to. We'll all pay money to it. And everybody go to the Episcopal church. "Well, I'm not an Episcopal. I'm a Methodist." "Well, you're going to have to go to another town here. This is Episcopal. This is an Episcopal town." How do we get to the place in America where everybody has to go to the same school? And why can't there be, why can't we have, we used to have vocational schools. They've kind of done away with them, although they're starting to make a comeback. But why can't there be they want to teach godlessness. Why can't there be the godlessness school? Why can't there be a Christian school? Why can't there be in your community a branch of the school that is Christ-based? Why do parents have to pay? Listen, I'm asking you to think with me here, okay? Why do you as a parent, why do we put up, Roger, why do you put up with living in the Baltimore Liberty Union school district, paying God knows how many taxes to that school district, and then having to pay again to send your daughter to a school where she can get a Christian education? Can somebody explain to me why your tax dollars have to go to Burger King only? Why is that? Why do we put up with that? And so then we see we're arguing back and forth about what's going to be taught in our schools. Well, why do we have to pay to teach in public schools stuff we don't even agree with? Who determines what's public education and what's not public education? And that's why I say churches are way behind the time. Every church in America, you're hearing me clearly now. Every church in America, I'll say this one more time so maybe somebody can't hear. All right? Every church in America could start their own homeschool co-op. Every church in America could do it. But you know why you can't do it? Because everybody wants to be paid for working. That's what they want to do. Whatever happened to volunteerism? How many retired women are there in your, just in, take your one church, your church? How many retired women are in there that could be good teachers? Oh, say, well, I'm not a trained teacher. How stupid are you? What do you mean you're not a trained teacher? Can't teach somebody to read? You can't teach somebody to do math? You can't teach somebody H2O? What are you talking about? You ever heard of the internet? You want to know something about American history? Can you go teach them some David Barton or some Bill Federer rather than the crap that we're getting taught? When are we going to wake up and understand that we are poisoning our children? That's like the commentary I wrote the other day. They're stealing our kids right from us. And you walk, you drive by, you name it. You name that great big massive place where you go to church. What goes on there during the week? Is there any reason why that place couldn't be open to education for kids? When are we going to wake up? When are we going to wake up and understand what they're doing to us? They're making us pay to teach stuff we don't even believe. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, I was going to say this. We have bought in also to this concept of retirement. At 65, you have enough money to retire to Florida and hang out and grow old and die. We here at the Huddle, though, and you've led us many times about, we ain't doing that. We're going to be here working, helping, and making sure our kids are out of the public school. But I think that's one of the reasons we bought into this idea of retirement and let's do nothing and hang out and play shuffleboard.
So let me turn to a pastor. Let's see, Dale's in here. Dale, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm not trying to besmirch anybody. Dale, what would it be, Dale? Why don't local pastors see the value of Christian education or opening up their churches and letting their church become a magnet? You want people to come to your church. What if you start giving them free education? What if you started doing that? What do you think, Dale?
Well, we would love to give free education, but I think you've already answered that question, and I think I just commented it. In the end, America has made church a business.
They have. We've made education a business too, haven't we?
We made not a good business, but we've made it a business.
Do you guys know this? Can I jump on this horse here just a minute? For those of you who wonder, no, I don't have any retirement. I taught 25 years, and then when I went through the mess with the American Civil Liberties Union, I didn't lose that fight. But when I walked away from that, I was jobless, and so pulled out a retirement to live on. And you hear so much about how teachers are underpaid, government employees basically in particular. I can tell you right now, I know of several people that I started teaching with. I'll give you a good example. A friend of mine, I'm not talking out of school, he may be listening right now. Teaching, your retirement when you teach is based on a percentage of your three highest years. So let's say, when I started teaching, I made like $6,000-$7,000 a year back in 1975. Now teachers in a lot of school districts, believe it or not, they're making 80, 90. You guys maybe don't know that. The teachers in your district, some of them are making $80,000, $85,000. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the truth. Administrators are making more than that. So they retire after 30 years. If I started teaching when I was, 22, I could have retired at 52. If I'd have hung in there, I could have got full retirement at 52. That's unbelievable, isn't it, Roger? 52 years old. But here's what people don't get. Do this math, okay? Let's say, I know a couple of my friends who retired from teaching. Their last 3 years, they were making in the area of $70,000. So they retire with full benefits after $70. They take the average of the three highest years. So let's say this: my friend made $65,000 one year, $70,000 is next to last year, and $75,000 is third year. That would be those 3 years. His average was what? 70. So his retirement is based on 67% of his final salary. So what is 67% of 70,000? Can somebody do the math for me real quick? 67%, two-thirds. What's one-third of 70?
It's going to be about 49,000.
So a teacher is going to retire with $49,000 a year for the rest of their life. That's more than that. That's more than the average teacher makes. You understand it? With starting teachers, they only make it. So they retire at 52 years old. And how long are they retired? And My. And then they double dip and they go back. What a racket it is. See, remember when he used to tell us how undersold, how underpaid teachers were? Don't believe that. No more. You say, Coach, you're just bitter. No, I'm not bitter. I'm telling you the truth. I had to pull mine out or I'd be riding that gravy chain too. I got friends. Are you ready for this? I got friends that I know that are making $6,000 a month in retirement. Yeah. Amazing. Who's paying that? Well, they pay it into the retirement system. Tell me you're smarter than that, okay? Anyway, I don't know how I got on that. But that's what's killing us. That's what's killing us. And Dale, you're right. Nobody should be retiring at 52. Nobody should be retiring at 65 even. Yeah, I'm 65. Heck, I'm surprised I ever was. Okay, I don't know how I got running down that rail, but I needed to run down it. Good morning. Anybody have anything for me real quickly before we get going? I got some stuff I want to lay out here real quickly.
I just think that when you finally reach that retirement age, it gives you an opportunity to really do and put your effort in on what you're supposed to be doing all along.
It does, Larry. But how about this? What if in your local church, Roger, are there any retired teachers in your church, you think? Any retired teachers? Are there any retired grandparents that don't have anything to do? Could come in maybe a couple days a month, a couple days a week. And wouldn't that be a great ministry at your church? To get all those kids out of the government schools and let them come into your big church free? Say, free? Are you kidding me? We have to pay people. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. You choose to.
The sad truth is, most of the churches out there, the education they would give the kids isn't one iota different than they're getting in the government schools.
Well, that's probably true, Larry. That is probably true. However, at least if we're taking our kids and we're putting them into a Christian environment, at least there's a God consciousness in them that they don't get in the government schools. And I would agree with you on all that other stuff. There's a God consciousness. Right now, there's no knowledge of God in our kids anymore. no God consciousness. Hey, listen, I'm gonna make a plea here. I'm gonna tell you something. Then I'm gonna make a plea. Hey, I want some of you. If somebody's got an NIV, I want you to get it out right now. I'm telling you, okay. If somebody has an American Standard, I've got the King James. I'm gonna show you something today. Jared actually gave me my attention. I need some of you with some different Bibles. So if you got one, you can take a minute, go over and grab that NIV or that American Standard, or you guys know what I'm talking about. I went up to my wife and I. We had the chance to go up and speak to a group. I don't get invited to speak very much. I just don't. In fact, well, I won't go there. I got invited to. I went when we went to Occupy or did an Occupy conference. I got a call when I got home from a lady, Tony, who said, would you come up and speak? I can get a group of people. Would you come up and speak? Are you kidding? Half truth? We'll travel. Be honored to. Up in Salem, Ohio. Salem, Ohio is up in the northwest corner of the state of Ohio. So Michelle and I got in our car. We drove up there Saturday morning. Actually, Friday night, going to stay Friday night. Got up Saturday morning. Went to this little church. Are you ready for this? Where the pastor, I'm not making this up, is 86 years old. A lady, pastor, 86 years old. A sweetheart, what a sweetheart. She'd come to, 86-year-old pastor had been to Occupy. So she heard, I didn't even really speak at Occupy. But she met me, saw me there. So they invited us up. So Michelle and I go up there. We don't know where we're going. We don't have any idea. And there were about 25, 30 people there, salt of the earth people. And I had 4 hours to just puke all over them with all the stuff that's inside of me that came out. And when it was over, my wife said, honey, that was most unbelievable. That was powerful. That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. I didn't have a PowerPoint. I had the Bible. I didn't have anything else. And I almost couldn't get away. Because they wanted more and more and more and more and more. So what are you saying, Coach? Here's what I'm saying. I'd love to come to your town. I'd love to come to your town. If you can get 20 people together, I'd love to come. And, you know, something I got to think about, my own marketing strategy, my own marketing mind. What I did yesterday, Saturday, so opened the eyes of so many people. And you know, I'm wondering out loud if trying to do the boot camps and calling them boot camps, maybe that scares people off. Maybe they don't want to go. Maybe they don't want to. Maybe they're not there yet. That's what my wife said, honey, those people aren't there yet. But the next time you go back, they might be there, but they're not there yet. And so maybe I need to change that philosophy. Wherever you are, if you can get 20 people together, I'd love to come and do that. I don't care where it is. I'd love to be able to do it. So those of you, wherever you're sitting out there right now, people are watching the show faithfully, and I ran into them up there, faithful people watching the show. And you want some people, you want help building a downline, I'll come. We'll just do it. We'll just do a Saturday morning. We went from 10 until 3 with a lunch break. And it's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And so I got a chance to do that on Saturday, and I'd like to do that in your town. So if you don't, you know, if you can get, listen, your pastor is not going to like it. Okay, I'm just telling you, your pastor's in a box. And your pastor only once taught what he knows, because that's what he's comfortable with. So what I'm saying to you is, if you go to your pastor and you ask your pastor, hey, pastor, could we have Coach Dave come in? Probably no. Now, maybe you've got a good pastor. Roger, what do you think the odds would be they'd let me come to your church and do one of the, have a little Saturday morning conference? Probably not very good.
I don't think so.
No, don't think so. Right. And, you know, I don't know what they think I'm going to teach. I don't know what they think is going to go on. But I broke down the left versus the right and the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. I went for 3.5 hours. It was unbelievable without a PowerPoint, without any, taking them through the scriptures and showing them what to on and on and on and on. You go to your pastor, he's not going to let you. Hey, listen, if your pastor knew it, he'd already be teaching it. And I'm going to tell you this too. Just because he's your pastor, doesn't mean he knows it. Somebody say amen for me. Would somebody please say amen? I'm going to wait for somebody.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen from a pastor. We don't know it all.
Don't know it all. You're walking it out just like everybody else is. And when I go to somebody, why do you think? Why do people go to conferences? I think they go to conferences to learn more about stuff that they're not learning wherever they are. When I was a teacher, they sent me to conferences. I had to go to conferences and learn about how to do this, learn how to do this. We're all in the process of always learning more and more and more and more. And I'm going to tell you this. If your pastor's stuck in a box, he's only telling you what he knows. That's all he's telling you. He doesn't know anything. And he's all called tinfoil hat and all that kind of stuff. When I left there on Saturday, I'll bring Michelle down here. When I left on Saturday, they had a greater understanding of the spiritual war that's going on around us. I promise you that. So I'm going to stop with a plug. I'd love to come to your email me. Just email me. Say, Coach, love to do it. Well, I'll come. I didn't charge them anything. Went. Oh, they took an offering. I didn't ask them to take an offering. I said, I'll come. We'll do it. I'll come to your town, wherever it is. Say, I live in Iowa. Well, let's get a book. Say, oh, you live down in Arkansas. Get a book. I'll come. Folks, listen, you need help where you are. You need help. And I know this, if I went back up to Salem, there'd be 100 people next time. You know why? Because every one of them's eyes are open and they'd bring somebody with them. So you got to hear this. As opposed to going back to the church and hearing a different version of what you heard last week. Another good place to say amen. Right there. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Amen.
Does that sound like self-promotion? I don't care if it does. I don't care if it does sound like self-promotion. I got something inside of me I'm trying to get out.
Amen, brother.
I'm consumed with it. And no, I don't just talk about tinfoil hat stuff. I never mentioned giants. I never mentioned Nephilim. I never mentioned none of that. None of that stuff. Listen, I have my fingers in a lot of things that you don't know I got my fingers. I know a lot of things I don't talk about. Because why? It ain't worth it to me. It's not worth it. You can stay stuck in your box all you want to. I ain't going to go there. My God's not going to bother me. But I know this. I know a lot more than I'm letting on. I'm not bragging. And I'm going to tell you this, too. I know some stuff your pastor don't know. Amen. Next thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow, David Arthur, Coach Dave, Lowell Morrison. We got a room for a couple more. We're doing a press conference at the state Supreme Court of the United States in Washington, D.C. Our show tomorrow will be live from the banks of Washington, D.C. David Arthur's show hopefully is going to be done live at the Supreme Court. We're leaving tonight. We're going to drive and get to the outskirts of D.C. We're going to sleep. We're going to get up, ride the L train in the morning, and we're going to be down to spend the day in Washington, D.C. Hey, Jared, I think I maybe can throw this up. I don't know if you happen to be close. I don't know who's listening to us. Jared, it says press conference. Click on that if you can real quickly. Throw that thing up on the screen. I'm sorry. I've lost myself here. Is it up here yet, Jared? I'm not being critical. I can't find it. There it is. Okay, there. Who? Pro-family leaders defending real marriage, one man, one woman, against the Supreme Court imposed fiction. Remember pretended legislation? I talked about that on Saturday. Imposing homosexual marriage on the nation. When? Tuesday, June 26, 11 a.m., the third anniversary of that ungodly ruling of Obergefell versus Hodges in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. The Obergefell judicial travesty is right up there, excuse me, with Roe versus Wade and Dred Scott as the most unconstitutional, misguided Supreme Court decision in American history, said Pete LaBarbera. It tramples over dozens of marriage protection amendments passed overwhelmingly by voters in states like Oklahoma and Michigan and Ohio, while attaching the noble institution of marriage in U.S. law to homosexuality as a sexual perversion prescribed in Scripture. Scroll on down, Jared. I'm sorry. The former homosexuals participating in this event give the lie to Chief Justice politically correct Kennard and Obergefell that homosexual orientation is immutable. Did you know that? Justice Kennedy said it was immutable. Moreover, Obergefell puts a gas pedal to the America's already accelerating moral decline in the LGBT leftist war against freedom of conscience. And it makes it easy for schools to indoctrinate children in sex and gender confusion in the name of gay and trans equality. Americans who love truth, virtue, and our God-given liberty must never accept this court-imposed lie and should pray and work for its reversal. And so here's a whole list of folks. Folks, Pete's bringing together ex-gays. Huh? Immutable, Judge Kennedy said. It's immutable. Immutable. And, hey, one of the ladies who follows me around all the time, you know who I'm talking about, sweetheart. My personal puppy that chases me around, barks at my heels every time we go out. She used to be married to a man. She has children. Now she sleeps with women. So it proves you can change, doesn't it? Well, proves you can change. So here they are. Who is going to be there? William Olson's coming. Anyway, down there, bunch of, scroll down through that real quick. They can read it. Who all is coming? Matt Staver, he's not coming. Janet Porter, I don't know if she's going to make it. Matt Twella's flying in. David Arthur's going to be there. Coach Dave's going to be there. That's what we're going to be doing on Tuesday at the Supreme Court. So if you're anyway near that, come and join us. And I tip my cap to Pete for putting that together. See, we can't quit fighting. We can't. Cool. Okay, Jared, you can take that down. I'm covering all my bases here. Is there anything else here? Okay, good. I did. Oh, no. Hear the Watchman. Jared, go there, please. Hear the Watchman. Going to New York City. New York City. And it's August 6th through the 9th, I think it is. People say, Coach, why do you go to these things? Because the people who go to hear the Watchman, they're awake. They're red pills. That's why they come. And so it's coming to Long Island, New York. For those of you out there on the East Coast, I'm not asking if you're in Dallas to come to this. Okay, I'm not. But some of you have never been able to be to one. There's going to be one in Long Island, New York, and it's August 9th through 11th. And I'm going to be speaking there. You don't have to come because I'm going to be speaking there, but I'm going to be there. And I just think that, if there's ever a darker place that needed a little bit of truth than Long Island, New York. Henry Groover, who, by the way, has had another miraculous healing. I don't know if you guys have followed that story. He was on his deathbed this weekend, Henry Groover was. L.A. Marzulli, Paul Bagley, Dr. Michael A., Carl Gallups, Russ Dizdar, Mike Spalding, Derek, the usual crowd. And you know what? pastors, I don't agree with all their theology. I don't agree with every one of them. But I go to them because you know why? They all got a part, piece of the cake. They all got a part of it. And yes, L.A. will talk about tinfoil hat stuff, and Russ will too. But we know MK Ultra is real. We know it's real. And we know that what L.A.'s finding in regards to the giants and skulls, we know that's true. They got documented evidence of it. What is it? Get out of your stinking box, will you? Enjoy life. Look around. Dr. Michael Lake, oh, my goodness. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So I gave that plug. Worth coming to. Anybody want to weigh in before I weigh out here on something else? Okay, cool. Hey, Jared. Now, Jared, let's pull up here. I know I sent it to you, man. Where did I put that? Lord, where did I put that? Is that it? Yes, Jared. You sent it to me, Jared, the scriptures. That's why I wanted everybody. That's why I want everybody to grab a Bible here. The most amazing thing happened. No, it's not amazing. Stay right there, Jared. Jared, go to Hebrews 4 real quick. Hebrews 4. Remember, folks, the enemy works through deception. Okay? Now, I joke with Roger all the time because Roger has what I call that sissy Bible. Some of you know that. But words have meaning. Words mean things. And so on Saturday, well, let's maybe we can get it here. Maybe it'll work here for us. It's Hebrews 4, verse 12. I want you guys to hear this. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I'm going to tell you this. Your prayers are not as effective as they could be if you're not praying scripture. It's the word of God that brings change. It's the word of God that impacts. It's not, oh, Lord, please bless Tommy and please bless Billy. Well, that may make you feel better, but that's not, the word of God is quick. That's why my wife says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. That's why we pray the word. You pray the word. The word is what's sharp and quick and powerful. So if you were the devil, wouldn't you want to try to change the word? Wouldn't you want to change the meaning a little bit? Jared, go to Genesis 3, because this happened. When we were in Salem, I said, I want to show you something here. And so I asked some lady to start reading from the Bible. She's in a firm. Her name is Gail. I said, listen, now, instead of me doing all the reading, Gail, how about you reading from the Bible? And she says, okay, I'll be glad. I'll be glad to do it. And so she began reading from whatever Bible she had. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't this. It sure wasn't this. Couldn't believe it. Jared, go to verse 6 a minute. Oh, no, let's stay right there, folks. I want to show you. This is so important. Now, the serpent. Maybe we may switch to Sissy Bible here in a minute. Hang on. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So the devil immediately questions the word. He questions two things. He questions not only the word, but what does Eve know about it? All right? So he comes in subtly. This is how it works. Change the words. Change the world. And the woman, verse 2, said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So right away the devil says, man, this girl knows the word. So the devil thinks, what the heck am I going to do? She knows the word. Huh. Hey, how about this? Let's try this. The serpent said unto the woman, surely not going to die. He questions the word. He knows she knows it. So now he has to question the word. And the serpent says to the woman, hey, sweetheart, you're not going to die. Because you know why? God doesn't want you to read that word, for he does know that in the day that you read it, then your eyes are going to be open, and you shall be like gods, and you're going to know good and evil. God doesn't want you to eat that apple because he doesn't want you to be like him, sweetheart. Questions the word, the motive of the word. And when the woman, who now begins to think a little bit, he is right. That tree does look good, and it is pleasant to look at, and a tree to be desired to make me wise, and the devil just told me I'm not going to die. She took of the fruit thereof, and she took a bite of it. Now, we think it's an apple, probably something far more powerful than an apple that Eve is eating in this garden. Hey, folks, it ain't an apple off of a tree. Come on. And she ate it, and then she gave it to her husband with her. In other words, Adam's standing right there beside her. He doesn't step in. He gave her unto her husband, he ate it, so he ate it too. And what? Look, the devil was telling the truth, and their eyes were open. Huh? They were. Devil was true. He said, you disobey, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to know good from evil. And they knew that they were naked because their eyes were now open, and that's when they start putting some clothes on around them and yada, 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 right? So the word, they question the word. Now, Roger, pull out that sissy Bible. Jared, let's go back up to number one. I trust Roger still got his sissy Bible there. Roger, don't look at the screen. I've got the King James on the screen. Roger, let's read from your sissy Bible. Let's see, what is the one that you have there, Roger? What version is it?
Dave, I've got the NIV. I've got
good. Okay.
I'm concerned about the posting and the conversation about this Virginia chick who helped write it. You know, the more I hold on to this thing, the more I've got to get rid of this book.
Okay, well, let's just watch. Remember, words are powerful. We just read this, right? The Word of God is powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But what if you change the Word of God? Now, listen, I'm not dumb enough to think that it's a Father, Son, and King James Version. I don't think that. But I think this is the purest one, okay? That's all I say. I think it's the most pure. Is it total and completely? People, and Bible says, and I believe it, that settles it. Well, to a degree. To a degree.
You know, if the King James were perfect, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit, would we?
Well, that's right. Thanks, Larry. That's a good point. So, Roger, now that you're in that Bible, and as everybody else is watching, as Roger reads from the NIV, start with verse 1, Roger.
Genesis 3:1.
Yes, sir.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made.
Okay, now hang on. Did the Lord God make wild animals? Do we know anywhere that the Lord God made wild animals? Is that what that says?
He made animals.
Beasts. Roger, he made beasts of the field. Now, listen, the fact that it's a beast doesn't mean it's a wild animal, right? A bull could be a beast and be trained. A horse could be a beast and be trained. Not wild animals, all right? Keep going. So you say, Coach, you're being picky. Yeah, I know I'm being picky, but this stuff matters. Keep going, Roger. More. Start again, Roger, and I'll shut up.
Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.
Okay. Now, first of all, we know. Go ahead. Keep going, Roger.
You will not surely die, said the woman. For God knows that when you eat of your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Okay, now, Roger, say that again. You will be like what?
You will be, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Now, guys that are looking on the screen right now, does it say you will be like God?
No, it does not.
It says
you shall be as gods.
Little G's. Little G's. You say, Coach, that's picky, is it? See, the devil didn't say that you would be like, the devil said you're going to be like gods, like all the other gods. And the NIV says you're going to be like G-O-D, God. That's not what it says. Let's go one more verse, Roger.
One more verse?
Yeah, let's try one more.
I just had to let my dog in. Here we go.
All right. That's all right.
When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food.
Now, hang on a minute. It doesn't say anything about fruit. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, not the fruit of the tree. Go ahead.
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some.
Go ahead.
Also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it.
All right. Subtle changes there, right? So, does anybody have another? Anybody got any other kind of sissy little version we could throw up in there? Anybody got that American Standard version? And I wish I knew what that lady was reading. The late Gail on Saturday. On Genesis 3, verse 1, it didn't even say serpent. It didn't even say serpent. Okay, am I making my point here? Am I being religious?
Dave?
Yeah.
You have to understand also, this NIV lays the foundation for even worse translations. You get things now that are supposedly easy to read, and their translations are far worse than the NIV. I think the NIV laid the groundwork that it's okay to do these things.
I think you're right. Good point. Hey, Jared, right here at Bible Gateway, which is what we use, folks. Hey, Jared, see if you can just go to the list of versions that we could look at. How many different versions are there, Jared? Versions of the Bible. Look at what. No, that's not it. That's not it. Those are languages, I think. Here we go. Look at these versions of the Bible. Amplified. Christian Standard, Common English, 21st Century. See, do you guys see this? They say, "Coach, why is this important?" Because every one of these waters down the word, and the word is what's the word's the power.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Hey, for a lot of years,
look at all
what I didn't know. What I didn't know better, Coach, I used to get kind of vilified about the King James. Oh, you're narrow minded if you read just the King James. Right. It was almost a scourge. It just would, and I believe with you, it's not perfect, but it's the most pure.
Right. And you know what else is bad about it? Here's what I like when we get together on a Bible study here and I make fun of Roger, here's why it's important to me. Guys, it'd be like this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I say, okay, let's all say the pledge. And Roger's reading a different version of it. And Larry's reading a different version of it. And we're not even saying the same daggone words. That's why I believe all of these other versions were put out there for confusion. For confusion. And so you can read it. See, you say, well, I understand the NIV better. Well, praise the Lord that you do. But there's some things in the NIV that have been changed. You may be able to read it better, but you're missing some of them deep. Anybody think I'm a religious idiot? Come on in and help me out here.
Well, Coach, I agree, and I can disagree on some things because of course to me it's not the translation that saved me. Because I could barely read when I did get saved. It was the Spirit that quickened and gave me life. You know what I'm saying? And I use the NASB, and that is because of studying Greek and Hebrew. And I mean, I can get into long, because I don't get in those debates right there, because then I've been in the King James only people. I don't use the NIV because of many reasons. Or like I've said in my post in there is that we have treated it. We have taken the word gay, made it LGBTQZYRP. We've done that with the scriptures. Yeah, we've watered them down. And I agree. I love the King James and the poeticness of it. Uh-huh. There's some things that I had concern about it, because King James actually had scriptures ordered to be put in there that were not in the original Greek manuscripts.
I couldn't agree more, Dale. That's why I say the King James is not, you know.
Exactly. And that's why I use an NASB. And if I was to read from Genesis 3, you'll see exactly that's what it says. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts. Actually, the NASB and the King James line up almost identical. You'll see a lot of the same poeticness in its writing.
So here's what I would say. This is just me. I don't know what it is where you guys go to church. If I was pastoring a church, I would say to everybody in my church, this is the, when you come to this church, this is the scripture. This is the Bible we're reading. I would almost demand that. Now, if you want to go home and look at another version, okay. But we can't be in this church reading six different interpretations of a Bible. It's like singing a song and the words, you don't know all the words to the song. Ever happened to you? You don't know all the words of the song? Well, I feel the same way, Coach.
Yes. That's exactly what I do. I said, because if you're not reading what I'm teaching from, you're going to get lost in that. And I agree with exactly what you're saying.
That's right. Confusion. So I use different versions. I do. I read use different versions. But I think this is the most pure. George, was it you? Somebody tried to jump in here. No, it wasn't George. It was Serge. Go ahead, Serge.
Yeah, I'm really confused because I got a modern English version, and it has beast in there, and it also has big G for God.
Yeah.
And then I MacArthur Study Bible, John MacArthur.
Yeah.
King James Version.
Right.
It also has beast and
your microphone's a little messed. Your microphone's a little messed up today. Anyway, so what Serge is saying to us, have I told you guys that sometimes I read from the Message Bible sometimes just because it gives me a different flavor to it. But I would never read the Message Bible as authentic. I would never do that. That's stupid, I think. Okay? So Jared sent this to me today. Let's play with this here a minute. Can we do this? Because this is really, really important. Hey, by the way, right now, if I were to give you a quiz, could you tell me the version used in your church? You know what it is? You don't have to answer. I'm asking a rhetorical question. Or do you just read, open up your Bibles to James chapter 2, verse 8. And there's 10 different interpretations, translations of James. I don't think that's healthy. And I think it sows seeds of doubt. So when that lady Gail began to read from whatever Bible she had, my antenna went up because it wasn't what I was. That's not what it says. Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Well, I was going to, being a motorhead my whole life and dealing with fast engines, fast motorcycles, and fast cars, I relate it to as, you know, I have never read the NASB Bible, so I'm not familiar with it. But I have read the NIV, the New King James, the American Standard or American National or whatever, and nothing stands up to King James. And King James is what we use in our church. Equate these other variations of the Bible as getting a little bit of water in your motor oil. What happens when you get a little bit of water in your motor oil?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, look. Coach. Roger, keep out your sissy NIV for me a minute, okay? Go ahead, George.
Coach, real quick, in the mega church I used to go to, we never had to worry about these problems because, first of all, it was really dark inside the building. Secondly, there was no need to bring a Bible because they just put what maybe one or two verses they'd quote throughout the sermon up on the screen. So, yeah, we never had those issues.
That's right. And isn't that the truth, folks? I'll give credit. Well, this is where credit is due. When I got saved, the pastor where I got saved said, don't come here again without a Bible. Now, he didn't tell me which one. Big mega church. But don't come here without a Bible. How many people do you see going to church there without a Bible? So Jared sent this to me, and this is interesting. I'd seen it before. Matthew 17:21. Watch this. Here are some verses, folks, that aren't even in the NIV. They're not even in there. Not even in there. Matthew 17:21. Roger, do you have the NIV? Is that the one you're working out of? Roger must be taking care of his dog. Does anybody have an NIV?
No, that's the one I'm working out of.
Okay. Okay, Roger. Listen, folks. Matthew, Roger, I'm going to read Matthew out of my book, Matthew 17, verse 21. And it says this: howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. That's Matthew 17:21. What's 17:21 say in your Bible, Roger?
I'm moving there right now. Give me a second. You know, the words have meaning. We can't deny that. Okay, Matthew, what was the verse?
17:21.
17:21. I'm moving. I'm getting there. 17. Okay, but words have meaning. 17. Here we go. All right, Matthew 17:21. We're getting there. Okay, here we go. Matthew 17:21. Here we go. All righty. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. Oh, that's not it.
No, because it's not in there. Jared, scroll right here, Jared. Bring up the NIV. Howbeit this kind goeth out not but prayer and fasting. Find it in the NIV. Find it in the NIV. It has a footnote. It isn't even in your Bible, Roger. Matthew 17:21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, is not anywhere in the NIV.
Wow. What they use in mine is they use the word nothing will be impossible for you.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Coach, I totally agree with that scripture, and I'm just... And it's in mine, and I'm looking at it. But I also know from studying that script right there, we read that, but actually, that was not in the original Greek manuscript. It was added, and it's boxed in my Bible because that's the way it's studied. It shows, yes, we're putting this in there. It was in there. It was added as a thought from the continual of the scripture. But in the original Greek manuscript, and nothing against King James, I love it. And I'm looking at my NASB, and it says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And because it's boxed in, I can look in my notes, not my notes, but the actual Thompson Chain study. And it says many of the translations do not contain this verse because it's not found in the original Greek manuscript.
Okay, cool. Well, do I stand corrected, or am I making the point that some Bibles have this in it and some Bibles don't have this in it, right? I think that's the point that I'm making. I think.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. And here's, Coach, I will say this. I can actually sit down and have no problem with the discussion on this, but you and I both know this right here is the same thing that the pre, post, and the mid – the eschatology causes this great division amongst Christians. We don't want to even sit down and dialogue it. Unless you believe it the way I believe it, we're not going to fellowship and say, I can have fellowship with you and I can talk to you about this, because we can go, oh, wow, I didn't know that. We can go back and forth. I love the King James Version, but I got friends who are King James Version only, and they think that I'm of the devil because I don't read from a King James only Bible.
So the only point I'm making here today is not the Bible translations are not the same. Folks, this stuff matters. I don't care whether the King James is right or the NIV, but they're not the same, okay? Matthew 18:11, here's another illustration. Go there, Roger. Matthew 18:11. Howbeit this kind goeth not out. Whoops, I'm sorry. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Matthew 18:11. What does the NIV say, Raj? He must be chasing his dog again. There it is. On the NIV, there isn't one. There isn't one, right?
Hey, Coach, remember having a conversation we did this week and that word that right there. He didn't come to seek and save those who were lost. He come to seek and save.
That which was lost. That which was lost. That.
There is no 11 in my Bible.
No, there isn't. No. So do you get, folks, do you get the point we're making here? Do you understand what we're doing? Is there any wonder there's so much confusion in Christianity when we've got so many versions of the scripture and what it says and interpretations and translations? I think Dale made a great point there. I wasn't aware of that this was added later. I wasn't aware of that. What is bothering me is, why is it missing in one translation and not missing in the other? Which one's right? I thought God said it. I believe it. That says it. Yeah, George.
Coach, just a question. Maybe someone on the queue knows the answers because I don't. But how many different versions of the Quran are there, or the Talmud or the Kabbalah?
I know this, George. If you translate the Quran out of its original language, it's no longer the Holy Quran. So that answers that question for you, right?
Okay.
Yeah. That answers that. So all kinds of them. Acts 8:37. Roger, go there real quick. I'm not going to beat this dead horse anymore.
Well, Dave, as I'm turning there, I think what if you really look at the influence of this one lady, this Virginia Mollenkopf, on the issue of homosexuality in the New NIV, you'll see how things are changed. But where are we in Acts now?
8:37. Hang on.
Our attention, this woman's contribution, 8:37. Here we go. And there is not 8:37. There, it's not there.
Wow, huh? Hey, what does it say?
I have a 36, and then it skips to 38.
Yep. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's in the King James, but it's not in the NIV. Now, I'm not going to argue which one's right. That's not the debate. But somebody help me out here. Jared, go to... Jared, well, I know you tried to get in here twice. Jared, do this for me, Jared. Go to Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I'm not supposed to change this book, I think is what I read. Or is it just the book of Revelation? I don't know. Come on in, Jared. I stepped on you twice.
Oh, just to further the study here, that leads me to believe there might be some malicious intent, is if you get a 30-year-old NIV, it actually has the other manuscript in the footnote. And if you get one where they just redid the NIV 3 years ago or 2 years ago, it's not even in the footnote anymore. So they're removing more information for you to be able to parse the scripture properly.
And as time goes on. And so we see right now in the Southern Baptist Convention a battle over homosexuality and a movement called Revoice. I don't know how many of you are following this or not. That the new Evangelifish Southern Baptists are going away from the traditional views of the Baptist Church. You guys know that?
Yes.
Here's the Revoice Conference. Here it is. And what is the Revoice Conference? What would they mean if they say Revoice? Who came up with that word? Revoice. I don't know if I've ever heard that word. I don't think I've ever heard of that word. Revoice. Revoice.
This is, Dave, this is nothing more, and I'm a Southern Baptist, this is nothing more than allowing a foot in the door to swing the door wide open. That's all it is.
And Roger, it was a foot in the door with the NIV, in my opinion. See, it's through infiltration and progressivism. That's why the communists call themselves progressive. It happens little bit at a time. See, a little bit at a time. And what's happened? So I'm not calling the leaders of the Southern Baptist. What's his name? Russell Moore. Is that his name? I'm not saying he's evil, but something's wrong. Something is wrong. He doesn't stand with the faith of his fathers, that old time religion. He doesn't stand with that anymore. Now, what happened? Did religion evolve? Did God evolve? Did the word of God change? What happened? See, it's little bit. Did God really say homosexuality was a sin, an abomination? Did God really say that you couldn't be a Christian and be a homo? Did God really say? So they're going to revoice it. They're going to try to figure out maybe they heard God wrong. Somebody come in here and help me wrap this up. Remember, now the serpent was subtle. Isn't that Genesis 3, Jared? Wasn't that Genesis 3?
I'd have to become Catholic.
Now the serpent was more subtle. There it is. It's subtle, boys and girls. It's subtle.
You know, Dave, I've had this conversation with you before about how, you know, when the Tower of Babel was being built, God had to change the language so that they couldn't accomplish what they wanted to. And over the years, I've said that, you know, what was wrong with Hebrew that we all couldn't learn it from the beginning and keep it, you know, stable. And then we have, you know, the Bible or the word getting translated into Greek, then it gets translated into Latin, then it gets translated into all these different other languages. And then what we have is a conglomeration of stuff that not a single church or not even anybody can agree on. And we have the evidence right in front of us with all these different translations in the Bible. So that's, I call it Bible Babel because Satan's had his hand in it. So, you
Bible
know,
Babel. Bible Babel. That's right.
That's right.
Subtly, right, David? Subtly. I mean, serpent, beast, big G, little G on God. I mean, it's just, you wouldn't even notice it if somebody didn't point it out. And so this is what has happened to, what's it say? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, quick and powerful, properly read, properly spoken. So you see how they change the interpretation. You all of a sudden get homosexual, lesbian ministers.
And they don't give up, Dave. They don't give up. They keep on pushing till they get it. They don't sit back and say, oh, we lost this one. Let's forget about it.
That's right. No, it's not. It's a battle to battle to the death for them, Roger. To battle to the death, right? Seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And we notice very quickly how did the serpent make progress with Eve? He challenged and changed the word. Did God really say that? Amazing, isn't it, folks? Amazing. So, hey, listen, be praying for us tomorrow. Me, Lowell, the Alphabet Man. We got room for a couple more if you want to know here at Close on the High. Want to ride with us? Got to let me know soon. We're going to leave at 5 o'clock tonight. Jared, I won't be in studio. I'll be live on my new phone. Hopefully we'll be able to make that work tomorrow. And hopefully you guys will help me carry the show a little bit because I won't have all this show prep done for you and everything. So what do you say, boys? The Bible says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Except which Bible is saying it. We'll see you tomorrow.